Well, good morning and welcome to Sunday School this morning. I'm so glad we're not only able to have our normal service, but we can have our Sunday School as well. And you can be turning your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. That's where we're going to start off, James chapter 1. Normally I teach it used to be the young married class, and then after we'd been meeting for a while together, we realized we weren't young married anymore, and so we became the old married class. But we'd rather not be called that, so we call ourselves the matured married class is what we call ourselves. But we like to have a good time in Sunday school. And I thought I would start off with something a little bit lighthearted this morning. You know, I realize that the virus is not a joke, and it's a pretty serious thing. But, you know, it's a good thing to laugh. And I think the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so found some memes this week, social distancing memes. And pick the 10 best that we found. By the way, this is voted on by the Lawrence family. And so I thought I would start with something to get us all woke up a little bit and maybe laughing a little bit. But Brother Chase, I can't see these, so you're going to let me know that these are working, okay? But number 10, okay, here's number 10. I thought this was pretty good. It's for your own good. You have to stop touching your face. And, man, you know, something like that would help. I keep wanting to touch my face. It just is driving me crazy. But I thought that was pretty good. Here's number 9. Anyone comes to my door, I'm shooting first and asking questions later. That would work great if you could find some hand sanitizer. But here's number 8. Number 8, kind of starting to understand why pets try to run out of the house when the front door opens. It's true. I just constantly am wanting to go outside all the time. All right, and here's number 7. This is very true, unfortunately. The buttons on my jeans have started social distancing from each other. Boy, that is so true. I think I need to do some social distancing from the refrigerator. I'm at home all the time, and I just want to eat. It's horrible. I don't know if you've had that issue. Here's number 6. New public benches have arrived. Now, we're just waiting now that we can get some pews that are 6 feet apart from each other like that. But that's a good idea. Here's number 5. I thought this was funny. I thought just looking at the mosquito was funny. But mosquitoes be waking up from winter like, where y'all be at? The situation, you know, it's just changed life for everyone, I think. Even the mosquitoes. And then here's number 4. And this is so true. You look out this morning, it's so beautiful outside. April every year, pouring down rain. April during quarantine, the most beautiful weather you've ever seen that you're not supposed to go out in. And then here's number 3. We're getting to the top 3 now. Quarantine day 16. Boy, I tell you what, spring cleaning has a new meaning these days. Every inch of the house must be clean. Here's this guy on top of the roof with the vacuum cleaner. Quarantine day number 16. And here's number 2. Social distancing champion, Mr. Bigfoot. Absolutely. He's had some experience at this. If we could only find him, we could get some really good advice from him, but haven't been able to find him yet. But here we are, down to number 1, voted by the Lawrence family. Number 1, social distancing baptistry. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, I realize churches have had to be creative, but, you know, and the fact of the matter is, Pastor is a Cowboy fan, and so I think he probably has some problem with his accuracy. But anyhow, top 10 social distancing memes. I don't think they can see the picture, so they're not getting it, but I know you're getting it at home, so pretty good. Let's get into what's important this morning. You know, there are some benefits from social distancing. Traffic has been amazing. I don't know if you've gone out and you've noticed that, but Northern Virginia traffic has not been Northern Virginia traffic lately. Another advantage recently of social distancing is that my wife can't go out shopping. Hi, hon, how are you doing? That's a good thing. I don't know if you had to go to Costco recently, but it's not quite as frustrating with, you know, you get to keep some personal space. I think they ought to keep that rule after all this is done. Keep the personal space in Costco. And, you know, everyone now is offering this free delivery to my door. It's just great. You know, in all seriousness this morning, I fear that many Christians are more intent in their social distancing than maybe they are in distancing themselves from sin. And the title of our lesson this morning is Sinful Distancing. And I want to talk about how we can distance ourselves from sinful living. Folks, sin is deadly. And we need to make sure that we get away from sin as much as we can. James 1 and verse 15, if you look there in your Bible, James chapter 1 and verse 15, and we're going to be in different verses this morning, but James chapter 1 and verse 15, notice what the Bible says about sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And by the way, don't blame God for what's going on. You know, I hear some people say, why would God let this happen? Why is God causing this to happen? Listen, don't blame it on God. Blame the bad things that are happening on us. Because bad things happen because we've done bad things, the Bible teaches us. We're all sinners. And, you know, the fact of the matter this morning, I've been amazed to see so many people who haven't been taking this virus seriously. But, you know, God says that we better take sin seriously in our life. In Galatians 6, you don't have to turn there right now, but Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 8, God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I've been amazed to see people going out and some of the things that they're doing, you know, seeing pictures of beaches full of people in the midst of this virus. It just blows my mind away. The risks that people are taking, the chances that people are taking. But God says, don't be deceived about sin. Getting close to sin is going to ruin your life. And he goes on in verse 8 to say, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And listen, when we realize how destructive sin really is in our lives, then we must take it seriously and separate ourselves unto a holy relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to see this morning some different ways that we can distance ourselves from sin. I don't know how many we'll get through, but we'll get through as many as we can. But notice number one, we distance ourselves from sin by becoming new creatures in Christ. I trust if you're watching this morning here on Sunday school that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ for Him to be your Lord and Savior, for Him to come into your heart and to wash your sins clean. But that's the very first way that we distance ourselves from sin in this life. You know, Adam sinned and that sin passed down through all of our fathers upon each one of us. The fact that we sin is proof that we're sinners. And we needed something to remedy that. And so God had a great plan. From the foundations of the world, the Bible says, He had a plan for His Son to be that lamb, to be slain for us, to die on the cross for our sins, so that God can restore the relationship that He wanted from the beginning. He created man perfectly, and man had fellowship with Him in the garden, and it was wonderful, and then man had to go and sin and mess it all up. God wants to restore that, and so the very first thing in order to restore that relationship and to get sin out of our life is to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says. By the way, that was the first verse I ever memorized. My dad was a pastor, and we had a bus captain who he had a song that he had memorized, and he taught me that verse. I learned that before I learned John 3:16. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so if you want to put away the old life of sin, then you've got to get a new life in Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, listen, you have the opportunity to do that today. Right where you're at, there at home, you can bow your head and pray and put your faith in what Christ did, dying on the cross. We're about to celebrate Easter. And Easter's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He died for the sins of the world. And He was buried, and thank God, He didn't stay there. He's a risen Savior. And He's seated at the right hand of God, ready to save those who will ask Him to come in their hearts and wash their sins away. Have you done that yet? That's the first step to distancing ourselves from sin. Hebrews 9:26 says, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You know, if you want to get away from guilt and you want to get away from misery in life. I remember when my son got saved, one of my sons, Josiah, my middle son, and, you know, he had some health issues. And so, you know, we were particularly concerned for him, wanted to see him get saved. But at the same time, as a parent, you want to make sure that your children are ready, that they understand that it's a decision they want to make. You can't force someone to get saved. And we understood that. But we were praying for him. And I'll never forget the day that he got saved. And I remember the joy on his face and just seeing his face light up when he finally got it and he put his faith in the Lord. And I remember that night, it was late at night, but I remember him coming in and waking us up. And I remember him making this statement. He was just a little kid, but he said, "Daddy, all the bad feelings are gone." And boy, I tell you, that was precious. And I wrote a song called "The Guilt Is Gone." Listen, if you want the guilt and you want the misery and you want the burden of sin to go away in your life, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And remember, as he was coming around to each one of the disciples, he came to Peter. And when he went to go wash Peter's feet, he said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Now, maybe some of us would have responded that way. "You're the Lord. You're the God of heaven. You're the Son of God, and you're going to wash my feet?" I understand that reaction. But I think we also need to understand the reaction of the Lord that day. He said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And then, of course, Peter reacts back and he says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." That's how a lot of us have been feeling lately, washing everything, trying to keep this virus away. But you know what? Spiritually, you have to let the Lord do the washing in your heart. He's not going to force it. Now, he's offered it and the invitation is there. But you have to be willing to receive Jesus Christ in your life, and he will wash your heart clean of its sin. So we distance ourselves from sin by becoming new creatures in Christ through salvation. Notice number two, this morning, we distance ourselves from sin by drawing nigh to God. Drawing nigh to God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Now, I want you to see, first of all, that there are a lot of people that pretend to draw nigh to God. And I think in mentioning this point, we have to be careful that we're not part of this group, because there's a certain way to draw nigh to God so that it's real. And I think there's a lot of people that claim religion, a lot of people that go to church. And, you know, this morning, you know, sitting there at your house, you may be watching church, and that may make you feel good that you're participating in church. But are you really drawing nigh to God? What does that mean? Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. The Bible says this: "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth." In other words, they talk spiritual. "And honoreth me with their lips." But what? "Their heart is far from me." See, folks, we have to draw nigh to God in our hearts. Now, I think when you draw nigh to God in your heart, you're going to talk about spiritual things. I think you can't help but talk about the one that you love, the one that saved you, the one that's precious to you in life. But it's real when it comes from the heart and not just from the lips. You know, God gives us a wonderful promise in James 4 and verse 8. He says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." And listen, folks, the closer that you get to God this morning, the further that you're going to get from sin and the further you're going to get from worldly living. You can't hold hands with the world and God at the same time. You either agree with God about life and about holiness, or you agree about the world, about its lifestyle and sinfulness. But I'm telling you this morning, as you draw closer to God, you'll find yourself distancing yourself more and more from this world and the sinful lifestyle that accompanies it. You know, my daughter, from time to time, she'll, you know, want to spend some time with me. And I'll just be honest with you. All she has to do is come crawl up in my lap and she's got my attention. You know, I'm sure dads out there understand that. You know what the Lord wants, so to speak? He wants us to come and draw close to him. To come sit in his lap, so to speak. To spend time each day with him. Listen, how much do you spend time with your family? I hope it's a lot. I hope you spend, and I hope that you take advantage of this time. You could say we're forced to be at home more. Hey, take advantage of that. Spend time with your families and get closer together and enjoy this time together. Let's take advantage of a bad situation and let's grow as families. But listen, folks, as much as you spend time with your family right now, how much time are you spending with your Heavenly Father? Are you drawing nigh to God? In John 13, we already spoke of Jesus washing disciples' feet, but you have a contrast of Peter who jumps away from Jesus when he tries to wash his feet. And John, who later on there in that passage, the Bible says, was laying his head there on Jesus' breast. And I don't think it's coincidence that John was identified repeatedly as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know why? Because John loved to draw nigh to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus loved to draw nigh to John. And if you'll draw nigh to God today, He'll take you into His arms and you'll experience His loving presence. The Bible says that His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Listen, sin has a pleasure for a season, the Bible says. So if you draw nigh to sin, I'm not going to lie to you this morning, there are some pleasures there. But after that, you're going to experience some horrible things, the results of sin. But listen, when you draw nigh to Jesus Christ, there are pleasures at His right hand. It's a pleasure that you're not going to regret. It's a joy and it's a peace. And folks, that's what we need in these hard times today. We need to draw nigh to God. How do we get away from our sin? By distancing ourselves from sin by drawing nigh to God. Notice number three this morning, we distance ourselves from sin by not making provision for the flesh. Listen, this is an important point. Would you turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 13? Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 14. We distance ourselves from sin by not making provision for the flesh. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 is a really key verse. It says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." This coronavirus really has turned life upside down. I mean, the things you're used to normally doing, you're not doing those things. Things you're not used to doing, you're doing a lot of those things now. And in particular, I think about how technology has just been forced into our lives, whether it's your kids maybe doing remote learning, each day at home. I know the teachers have been learning that and doing a great job with that. Maybe you're doing a lot of teleworking now. I'm sure a lot of people are involved in that. Or just maybe buying stuff online, your groceries, and having it delivered. It's just, there's a lot more interaction with technology. And that's, isn't it great that the Lord's given wisdom to men to have these different things that can be a help in a time like this? But can I say, as much as there are advantages and blessings in using those technologies and the internet and whatnot, we need to realize that there are some dangers there too, aren't there? And you know, it hit me recently. We went out, we bought some laptops. We went down to Costco and they had a really good deal on them. And I was thinking about my kids and thinking this is their education. And so I realized that this is a little bit of an investment, and I think it's a worthy investment. And so we got some laptops. Up to this point, if they needed to do their paper or do something, we would give them one of our laptops and they'd be there in the room with us doing it there on the computer. Because we're very careful about the interaction that they have on the website and internet. And so we got these new laptops and it hit me. I thought, man, we've got to have some filters. We've got to have some protections here. Because I don't want them making provision for the flesh. By the way, as a husband, I've tried to put those things in my devices and in my technology so that my wife can have the assurance in her heart that her husband isn't going out and looking at filth on the internet. And, you know, I remember in old days, you know, a father might give a daughter a purity ring or might have some symbol representing purity. And that would be something that they could present to their mate on their wedding day. You know, I think these days having filters and having account passwords and different things like that is almost the modern day equivalent to that. And you know what my goal is when my boys get married and when my daughter gets married, that I can hand some of those things over to their spouses so that they know that they haven't been getting on the internet and looking at filth. Now listen, young people, if you're here today and you're listening to the Sunday school this morning, I want you to understand there's always a way to find filth. Satan will make a way. And that's why this verse is important. Don't make provision for the flesh. Listen, young person, you've got to have character to realize God is always watching me. I might be in my room alone, and I might think that my parents aren't seeing me, and I might think that my brother and sister aren't seeing me, or my youth pastor, but listen, God always sees me. And I grew up, and I had sin around me and different things in my life, but the one thing that I think really, I wasn't perfect, but the thing that really kept me from a lot of those mistakes that I saw a friend and even family make was the fact that God sees me. And it's like Joseph said, how could I sin and do this great wickedness against God? Joseph lived before God's eyes. And folks, Boy, we need to do that more than ever these days in order to not make provision for the flesh. Now, parents, you might be sitting there at home thinking, wow, that sounds complicated. How do I, you know, set my computer up so that there are filters and everything? I would love to help you with that. If you, I think some of our staff would love to help you with that. And if you need some ideas, we're here to help with those kind of things. We realize that these things have come into our life and opened a lot of opportunities, but maybe also a lot of provisions for the flesh. And so if you need any help with that, we'd love to help you with your devices and setting up your computers and whatnot so that we don't make provisions for the flesh. Notice number four, how do we distance ourselves from sin? Notice number four, by applying God's word in our lives. Aren't you thankful for God's word and how it helps us have victory over sin? Psalm 119 and verse 11, I hope you have that verse memorized. I won't have you turn there, but the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know, I used to think that verse meant that just if I memorize lots of scripture, then the automatic result of that is I won't sin. And then, you know, I got in something when I was in high school called Bible quizzing, and we did. We memorized a lot of scripture. In fact, we memorized books at a time, and it was a fun way to memorize the scripture. You got to go to competitions, and the person would ask a question from a certain verse. And if you had that verse memorized, you could start to stand when they began asking the question because you knew what was in that verse, and you could give the answer almost right away. And so we memorized a lot of scripture, my friends and I, in the class that I was in. But you know, as I look at some of those friends out in life, I'm amazed how many of them memorize so much scripture, and yet they're living so filthy lives. And I look at that and I said, but Lord, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And then I realized, I don't think I'm understanding this verse quite right. The Bible's not saying there, if you memorize scripture, you'll never sin. I don't think that's the idea there. I think the idea is really more about our purpose in memorizing scripture. Our motive. Why are you putting God's word in your heart? So that you can apply it in your life and not sin against God. We distance ourselves from sin by applying God's word in our heart. Now, sure, memorizing scripture makes it that much more simple, doesn't it? I mean, there's times in my life when I'm out and about and all of a sudden some temptation comes up. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings a verse up into my mind that I've memorized. And it's a help, isn't it? It's that way of escape many times that the Bible talks about from temptation. So I'm not putting down memorizing scripture. It is an important part, hiding God's word in our heart. But the reason we do that, the reason we get on and listen to Sunday school, God's word being taught, and the reason we get it, come to church to hear God's word preached, is so that God's word can get in our heart and we can apply it in our lives. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And that is how we distance ourselves from sin. Psalm 18, if you turn over there, you're in Psalm 119. Turn over to Psalm 18. Psalm chapter 18, and let's look at verses 21 through 23. Psalm 18, 21 through 23. Notice what the Bible says here. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. Notice the different things in this verse that refer to the Bible. The ways of the Lord goes on to say, and have not wickedly departed from my God. So in keeping God's word, it kept him from departing from the Lord. That's the idea here. Verse 22, for all his judgments, there again, judgments refers to the word of God, were before me, and I did not put away his statutes. Again, another reference to the word of God from me. What was the result? Verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. You know, there's an old statement. Your sin will keep you from the Bible, or your Bible will keep you from sin. Which is true in your life today? Are you spending time in God's word? Why is it that the more time we have, the less likely we are to spend that time with God? Listen, don't let that be the case, folks. Now, I know spring break has started up for our school, but whatever the case might be, we have more time in our hands in a different way right now. Won't you take that time and spend a little more time with the Lord and his word? I'll tell you what, it'll help keep you from sin. So we've seen that we need to distance ourselves from sin by applying God's word. Notice number five, we distance ourselves from sin by fellowshipping with spiritual friends. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, the Bible tells us this when, with regard to the wrong kind of friends. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you know, when I think of that word communication, I think of social media, don't you? I think of the communication that can take place online. And I remember when I was younger, there was a time when I don't remember the internet. It's sort of dating me a little bit. But at the same time, I remember when the internet came around my junior, senior year, when it was starting to get popular. It had AOL and different things. One of the things that was becoming popular at that point, as I was a senior or so, was the online chat rooms. I don't know if you guys remember the online chat rooms. And, you know, people get on there and they talk about all sorts of stuff. And that was the problem. Teens would get on there and they would talk about all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I realized pretty quickly I had to distance myself from a lot of that. Because evil communication, it's true, corrupts good manners. And I don't know why it is when someone gets on a computer, it's almost like because there's not another person there in front of you, people are more open to saying things that they maybe wouldn't normally say if someone was right there in front of them, or having an attitude, treating others in a way, talking to others in a way that they wouldn't normally talk to someone if they were there in person. And so we have to be careful about these communications, don't we? But 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13, look at verse 9. It says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. So notice we're talking about who we're with, our company, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judges. Therefore, here's that distancing, here's that sinful distancing. Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, folks, realize there is a balance in this. The Bible does say that Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. He did that in order to win them to himself. And we have to have relationships with unsaved people. We need to have contact with them. And I realize that it's a different, you know, way of winning people to the Lord right now, isn't it? We have to be creative. We have to think of and ask the Holy Spirit to give you spiritual eyes to see those opportunities to be a witness and where those might arise. He'll do it. So ask him to open those doors. I realize it's very different these days, but listen, we have to be careful about the friends that we have. You know, there's a certain level that you let someone into your heart. Young people, this is true with your friends. You know, I think about David and Jonathan and how the Bible says their souls were knit together. You know, they both saw in each other a desire to please the Lord, a desire to walk with God. And so seeing that, they were then able to let their hearts be knit together. And you know, you have to make sure that that person, by the way, if you're looking to marry someone, you're looking for this in their life. You're looking for someone who, in your interaction with them, is going to draw you closer to God because they walk with God. And so there certainly is a balance. Yes, we have to have interaction with unsaved people and we need to be friendly to them and have a relationship, so to speak, with them on a certain level. But when we talk about those people that we let into our heart, that's where we have to be careful and make sure that our friends are the right kind of friends. Fellowshipping with spiritual friends is going to help us distance ourselves from sin. Notice number 6, we distance ourselves from sin by, and we sort of already started to talk about this, guarding our hearts. By guarding our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, if you turn over there. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at verses 23 and 20 through 27. Great passage of scripture. Verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence. God says this is important. You need to put all your effort into this. Into what? Making money? No. Into being famous? No. No. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Into keeping your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. And he begins to mention in the following verses those different issues. For instance, our speech in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Then he talks about what we look at. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And he talks about where we go. And I think this has to do with who we hang out to. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And you know, I think we can understand some of these things with the social distancing. You go to the store, and I don't know about you, but I normally when I might go to the store, I'm going to go over there and check this out. I want to see what they got in this area, maybe in gardening or what they've got over here and home building stuff. I don't find myself doing that these days. I'm keeping my eyes straight ahead on what I need to get. I'm looking for, you know, milk and toilet paper and if they have hand sanitizer in. I haven't found that yet. But, you know, I'm not looking to the left or the right. I'm looking straight ahead. We know spiritually that's how we have to be. And Satan loves to put things there in our path to try to get us off the path God has for us. To try to draw us closer to sin. God says, no, you keep straight on that path. You guard. And how do we do that? By guarding our hearts. By protecting our hearts. Because it's our heart, from our heart, these issues are affected in our lives. We distance ourselves from sin by guarding our hearts. Notice number 7, and we're almost done. We distance ourselves from sin by forgiving others. I love this. In Ephesians 4 and verse 31, just for sake of time, you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 4, 31 says this. You see the distancing yourself from the wrong crowd and from things, interactions that are wrong with other people. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. But not only the actions that are wrong, interaction you might have with others, but also the inner attitudes that we have toward other people there, isn't it? Malice and wrath and anger, evil speaking that can come as a part of that, gossiping about someone. He says, let it be put away from you. There's that sinful, let's distance ourselves from those things. How? Goes on to say in verse 32, be kind one to another. Here's the contrast. Tender-hearted. Listen, forgiving one another. So instead of holding grudges in your heart and holding on to anger and holding on to bitterness and keeping that close in your heart, God says, no, forgive people. And I love the word forgiveness. It's a theme in the Greek language. It means to put away something. You see, some people say, well, you know, forgiveness is forgetting. I don't find that's true. In fact, sometimes when I've been offended in life, deeply, it's impossible for me to forget maybe what someone's done to me. I think it's actually the opposite. I think forgiveness is remembering. I think it's remembering that you're no longer going to associate that sin with that person. You're going to put that sin that they that offense they did away from them. Hey, this is important in our marriages. You know, when we ask someone for forgiveness, I think it's important that we don't bring up sin to the past and bring up past offenses. That can be really hurtful. That can really hurt our marriages and our relationships. Now, we have to work at not repeating those things, don't we? As well, and not repeating those offenses. That also can be hurtful. But listen, when you forgive someone, you send that bitterness away. When you forgive someone, you send that anger away. And listen, why carry it around? Why carry the anger and why carry the bitterness? You know, it's sort of a deceitful thing in our lives, isn't it? We think that by holding on to those things that we're getting back at someone, that we're getting a satisfaction. Let me tell you, when you hold on to those things, all you're doing is holding on to burdens in your life. Sinful burdens. God says, distance yourself from that sin, those sinful attitudes, by forgiving others like I've forgiven you. Notice in conclusion, today we distance ourselves from sin by confessing and forsaking it. You know, listen to what David did in 2 Samuel 12:13. We know David had committed great sin. And his sin with Bathsheba, Nathan confronted him about that. In verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. When David finally came to a point where he repented to the Lord and said, I'm so sorry, I've done this thing against the Lord. I'm sorry. Nathan said, it's okay. God's put your sin away from you. Aren't you thankful for the promise of 1 John 1:9? If we confess, that is to say, if we agree with God about our sin, homologeo, to say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. It's wicked. It's bad. I don't want to have a part of it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful. That means He always will do it. And He is just. That means He has the right to do it. To what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To get rid of that sin in our lives. Look, no one is here this morning saying we're perfect. Even as Christians, yes, we've been given a new man, but we do still have that old man, don't we? But hasn't God given us a great promise that if we'll just confess those, agree with God about those sins and repent, God says, I'll wash your heart clean. I'll restore that fellowship that you have with me, and we can walk together in agreement again. Listen to what Jacob did in Genesis 32 and verses 2 through 5. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. There's that distance saying, be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror or the fear of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Boy, when they got rid of those idols and those things. By the way, you don't have to have something that you bow down in your house today in order to have idols in your life. An idol is simply something that has greater priority in your life than God has. That can be a job. That can be money. Could even be a relationship. You know, putting our children before God. God calls one of our children, go to the mission field. No, I don't want you to go. Don't do that. Wait, they should be the Lord's. The Lord should have first priority. He should have preeminence. I find we probably have a lot of idols, maybe not in the normal sense of the word, but we have a lot of idols in our life, don't we? God says, put those things away. And boy, when they did that, they were able to walk in the fear of the Lord. We don't have time to look at Joshua. Joshua said, talked about doing the same. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think about Josiah, how he brought revival to the land when he got rid of those things out of his life. Listen, confessing our sin, asking God to help us get rid of things out of our life is a great way to distance ourselves from sin. Listen, I know it's a weird time, isn't it? The social distancing, I mean, it's. I want to shake someone's hand. I have this, you know, desire to go up and shake someone's hand. I saw Brother Jeremy here I haven't seen him in a while, and I wanted to go up and give him a big hug, you know? It's weird. I'm with you. I get it. But you know what? The lessons we're thinking about and learning and the things that we're experiencing when it comes to social distancing, how much more important is it for us this morning to say, I'm going to distance myself from sin in my life? We've tried to give you some areas in which the Bible says that will be a help for you to do that. This morning, won't you apply it in your life? Won't you spend this time not just distancing yourself in order to defeat the coronavirus, but distancing yourself from sin in order to really defeat the enemy that's out there, the old devil. Hey, thanks for being with us here this morning in Sunday school. We look forward to seeing you at 10 o'clock for our worship service. The Lord bless you.